Let's start with our blessing. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher bachar banu mikol hamim v'natan lanu et torato. Baruch ata Adonai notein haTorah. I need a chumash.
Here we go.
Right behind the chair here.
That's helpful. Yeah. Okay. Last week, we started the parshas about the building of the Mishkan, and as I wrote for the Jewish Experience, for their newsletter last week, the narrative about the Mishkan takes up more room than the creation of the world, the exodus from Egypt, the splitting of the sea, and the giving of the Ten Commandments all put together. It's like, so it must be really important. Because otherwise, why waste the column inches on it? So we're in the second of the two parshas. Last week was the parsha of Truma that had to do with the furniture, I guess you could call it, the furniture in the Mishkan. But let's take a look at it quickly just in the sidebar so we can see what was involved. And then we are now in Parsha Tetzaveh. But we're going to first turn to Parshas Truma on page 445. Pardon my croaky voice. Okay. So the command to build the Mishkan, to take the offerings from everyone, on page 447, it's the building of the Ark that's going to hold the Ten Commandments and the Torah. The cover for the Ark on page 449. The Shulchan, which is going to have the bread, the Lechem HaPanim, the showbread for each of the 12 tribes, page 449. And page 451 is the menorah. And then the covers of the tabernacle and the walls of the tabernacle. So everything that has to do with the physical building of the Mishkan is in Parshas Truma. The planks, the parochas, it says the altar again, the courtyard. And as you can tell, you can see on the various pages in this parsha that there are illustrations for each of those parts of the Mishkan, including on the last page, you'll see on page 463, the last page of Parshas Truma has another rendition. It doesn't make it look as fancy or as glorious as it was, but at least it gives you a little bit of an idea. Parsha Tetzaveh starts and talks about the clothing for the Kohanim. And the same thing, we see all the illustrations for their vestments. And it has on page 467, the ephod, the settings, the breastplate, 471, the robe of the ephod, the headplate, the tunic, the vestments of the ordinary Kohen. And then on page 475, it talks about the inauguration ritual for the Kohanim and how they're going to get all ready to go. And that continues on 477, etc. It goes on page 479. You should do all this. You should have the Mishkan. You should have all of the furniture, etc. Then it goes on page 481 to the Tamid offering. This Tamid offering that was given on a continual basis. Then on the bottom of page 481, we have what's going to look like the conclusion of the Mishkan. So why don't we read that and see what that sounds like. Janice, would you like to read on page 481,
sure.
Verses 43 through 46?
I shall set my meeting there with the children of Israel, and it shall be sanctified with my glory. I shall sanctify the tent of meeting and the altar. And Aaron and his sons shall I sanctify to minister to me. I shall rest my presence among the children of Israel, and I shall be their God. They shall know that I am Hashem their God, who took them out of the land of Egypt to rest my presence among them. I am Hashem their God.
If you didn't know that there was more coming, you might think that this sounds like, Zoe, this is it. Everything's ready. We've got the furniture. We've got the clothing. We've got the Kohanim. We've got the inauguration. We're ready to go. God said, I'm going to rest my presence. We're good. We're ready to go. So this class is based on a class that I heard from Rabbi David Kaplan, and he points out, as do all of the commentators, well, that's interesting, because flip the page to page 483. Coming out of nowhere, out of left field, right field, whatever field it is you're not supposed to be in. Left field. I guess because I'm left-handed, that feels like where you should be, but it's, right field is the problem, left field. Coming out of left field, all out of nowhere, is the beginning of chapter 30, a whole new section that talks about building the incense altar. So there are a couple problems with this. There are a couple questions that should, bless you, that should come, that should spring up for us. Not the least of which is, what is this doing here? If we're going to talk about the incense altar, where should it have been discussed?
Before.
Parshas Truma. That's where we talked about everything that had to do with all the furnishings. Everything that has to do with the operation of the Mishkan is in Parshas Truma. Everything having to do with the Kohanim and their clothing is in Tetzaveh. This is as almost as if, did Hashem forget, like, oh, this would be a building project I would do. You know, you're all done, and then you realize, oh, no, we forgot, you know, the place, you know, for the garage. You know, like, either it's so minor, that's why you forgot it, and yet it's the incense altar, which is very major, so it couldn't have been forgotten, and it doesn't go with clothing, so what's it doing here? So why wasn't it in Truma, and why is it here, and why does it come at the very end, appearing almost as an afterthought? But we've studied enough to know that anything that seems like an afterthought is usually the main idea. Okay, so usually it's the main idea that everything else was almost preparatory. And what comes at the end is like, and this is the point. This is the point. The incense altar, it turns out, is the main idea. Now you'd say, well, I thought the ark is the main idea. The ark is the main idea, but what we're going to learn about what the function was of the incense and the incense altar is going to tell us that not only is it the point of the Mishkan, it's the point of the entire purpose of our living and the entire point of what we are doing here in this world. So that's why it is plucked out and put here, lest we think it's just the furniture. So I don't know if this would be similar in a house where, you know, you can have all the things that you need for the house to function. So in a house, in our today's standards, you need like a bedroom, you need the kitchen, you need the bathroom, so you need the toilets, you need the sink, you need the bed, you need the couch. But that's so that everything works. But nobody, I hope, would say that the point of having a home is to have that. No one would say that. So what's the point of having the home? Since the point of the home might actually be, and I'm just pulling this out because you could say you could make an argument for anything else, it could be the dining room table. It could be after you've done everything. It could be where is the family actually going to gather to be in relationship with each other and talk and have build the family? It could be the dining room table. Well, the kitchen's only to get to the dining room table, which is why if you are putting mezuzahs on the doorway and you have a door between your kitchen and your dining room, we know that it needs to be on the right-hand side going into the more important room, you put it on the right-hand side going from the kitchen into the dining room. The kitchen is not the point. The kitchen is the preparation for the table. So you put the mezuzah goes pointing to the direction of what is the most more important. It's the table. There are people, also your table is where you have guests. It's where you have the poor gather. It used to be that people would have as a sign of their, you know, to take evidence with them, like you can't take anything with you when you pass into the next world. But people would often have their coffins made out of